It's so good to be here. When I left Melbourne on Wednesday, I had just one prayer. The Lord will enable me to keep my voice. Because the last time I had to cancel my appointment in Sydney by 5 days. Thank God you can hear my voice. It is still workable. So let us now go into the Word of God. For this is the best thing you can ever have. Every day, are you reading your Bible? If not, why not? It is God's message to you. A lamp to your feet, a light to your path. Now the passage I want to read with you is in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 11. Now let me explain to you why we begin with the first book, and the next book we are going to read is the last book of the Bible, Revelation. I shall speak simply, slowly, so that nobody can say, I didn't hear, I can't understand. Now, Genesis 11 is a page of history. You go back until the time of the flood. By the way, do you believe there was a global flood? Or it was just a local flood, like the ones you had in Australia some months ago? Oh, dear friends, God judged the earth by two judgments, one past, one coming. And it is because of this coming one that we must make ready for it. You must also know that there was a past judgment. Sadly, people do not believe, because they don't like to believe. How can there be a God that can punish man? So, people invent theories to escape the creation by the theory of evolution. Now, Genesis 11 is at the time following the flood. The whole world had been destroyed by water. Now, for your information, the next judgment, God will destroy the whole earth with fire. Now, for water, God instructed Noah to build an ark so that all who got into the ark will escape. That's all you need, to have a place of shelter with enough food to survive. The next one, unless you believe in Jesus, when the fire comes, we burn up. You can have nowhere to escape to. You know, in America, they are building deep tunnels and shelters in the mountains. You think that is safe? What do you think? Bertrand Russell, who is an evolutionist and unbeliever, he says, dear friends, don't you bluff yourself. You may survive 100 feet underground, and after the atomic bombardment, you come out. Do you know what you will find? The first thing is you quickly run back to your shelter. Because on earth, there's nothing left. Have you ever seen the picture of Hiroshima? 100,000 lives and thousands of buildings were totally flattened in 1 minute. That is the fire that may come. Now we go back to Genesis 11. This is an account of the first global rebellion against God. How can it be? These are the descendants of Noah. Did they go through the flood? Noah and three sons? Of course. But did they love God and obey Him afterwards? Answer is no. Do you know why? God destroyed the earth with water. You can flood out everything and plant life, animal life, human life, all finished. But the sin in the hearts of Noah and his three sons remains. Have you come to Jesus to have your heart cleansed? This is the important thing. So, within three generations, Noah, his son, grandson, great-grandson, four generations, a fellow called Nimrod. Ever heard of the name? I don't think there's anyone who calls his son Nimrod. But it is a real name. And this man, amazingly, took into his head to form a global following and society against God. This is the background of the story. Verse 6. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people are one, and they have one language." Now, the key word here is language, because they could communicate. Supposing I talk to you in some other language, you all say, "What a fool you are. What are you talking about?" Ah, Nimrod at that time was in a community. All his relatives, cousins, and nephews, whatever they are, all one family from Noah. But they had grown. This was three generations down. Noah, his son, his grandson. Now this is the great-grandson. Read on. And they said one to another, "Let us go down and there confine." This is God speaking. I beg your pardon, we go back to verse 6. I've jumped the verse. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one. They have one language. And they begin to do ends. Now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do." What were they doing? You remember the Tower of Babel. God commanded them, go and repopulate the earth. Nimrod and his group say, "No such thing. We are going to remain here and I'm going to be the boss. I'm going to be the leader." He was a mighty man and a great hunter. So, the Lord said, "I will put a stop to this nonsense." How did God do it? Change their language. So there was confusion. They could not communicate. How can you do a big project when the people do not understand what you're talking about? Verse 8. So the Lord scattered them from the face of the earth, and they stopped to build a city and the tower. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. Now you say, why are we talking about Babel? Babel is the Hebrew and the same name in Greek is Babylon. You follow? The two are the same thing. Now there's going to be a repeat of this rebellion of the earth. What stopped the rebellion, do you know? What stopped it? Change of language. They couldn't understand each other. Now at the end of history, at the end of the age, God allows men to have understanding of one language. Everywhere around the world, you can understand one language. What language is that? It's not Chinese, it's not Japanese, it's not German. It is English. Do you know that you cannot operate an aircraft if your pilot cannot understand English? It has now become the universal language. Now, verse 9, therefore, they call the city Babel, because God there did confound the language, and the Lord scattered them abroad from the face of the earth. So the first attempt at global rebellion, please understand, at that time, I don't know how many people there were, but it cannot be too few. You know, people, after three generations, in those days, they live long, 300-400 years old. Now, at the end time, God is going to allow mankind to rebel a second time. The whole world rebelling. Do you see it happen today? Yes or no? I think most of us say, no, I don't see any rebellion. Please understand that today, very few believe in God. Almost all the churches have departed from the faith. They call themselves Christian church or church, but they do not believe in God at all. And that movement is called the ecumenical movement. And you are going to see this represented in Babel and translated to the end of the age. It's called Babylon. Now, are you following? It's only in the Bible. We have a wonderful God who tells you the end from the beginning. For our information, and more important, for our guidance and warning. Don't you be part of that movement. That movement is called Babylon. Ecumenical. Do you know what is ecumenical mean? Ecumenical means one world. So at the time of Nimrod, he gathered the people as one world. And I'm going to be your boss. In the end time, now we are living in end time. Do you know there is a leader on earth who has formed the greatest institution on earth? So I ask you a question. What institution are we talking about? Babylon. That is the greatest rebellion against God. And how are we connecting that with the King James Bible? Ah, that's a bit of a riddle, isn't it? Now we read Revelation 17. Verse 1, the last part of it. Halfway down verse 1. Come here, I will show you the judgment of the great whore. Now here the word whore, in case you have not come across the word, but you've heard of prostitute, haven't you? Whore is another name for prostitute. Now do you know the name in the Bible for the church that Jesus Christ gave to the church? What name is it? The bride. the pure, chaste, virgin bride who is married and exclusively loyal only to one husband. And that one husband or bridegroom is Jesus Christ. All of us come collectively form a community of believers, and it is referred to as Bride of Christ. You and I, we form the body of believers called the Bride of Christ. Now what am I driving at? Can you follow? In the Bible there are many pictorial language expressions that you got to be taught to understand what's the... So for example, you read here, whore. Isn't what you're talking about, the prostitute here? Ah, can you interpret now? Whore means false church. Whereas we from the bride, we acknowledge only Jesus. Loyal only to Jesus. Worship nothing else, and give Him all our allegiance and follow Him. You and I are the bride of Christ. Are you one? Amen, of course. Thank God, because when Jesus returns, He's going to receive us. Suddenly, in an instant, He changes us and takes us all up. When Jesus comes, do you know this doctrine of the second coming? Now, the false church is called a whore. And this is awful, awful woman. Anything can. Everybody can. So, what are we driving at? There is a church today. People think it is a church. But it is a whore, not the bride of Christ. The whore is an immoral and false church. Now I prepared you to understand. And this goes back to Babel. Effectively, it is a global rebellion against God. In the time of Noah and his sons and grandsons, it was led by one man called Nimrod. In the end time, in an equivalent global rebellion is coming, led by one man. Can you guess his name? The Pope. Ah, it's amazing. Now you say, are you sure? I say, absolutely, because the Bible says so. How can you know? How can you identify? And what connection has it got to do with this Bible, King James Bible? Read on. With whom the kings of the earth commit fornication. Fornication here is an immoral religion. In society is anyone, man, woman, boy, girl, get together and pretend to be man and wife. That is fornication. Anybody, anytime also can. This is a picture of that false church. And the false church received its greatest setback in the 16th century when God sent the Holy Spirit to revive and to give them the people of Europe. The truth of the gospel, not the Roman church, but Jesus Christ is the Savior. You know, for 1,000 years, Europe was dominated by the Roman Church. Did you know that? Dominated in every sense, but most of all in a religious fear, the people, all the masses, could not know what to do in every circumstance. You have a baby born. What shall we do with the baby? Oh, you come to the church and we'll baptize you. Put water in it, becomes a Christian. Does that sprinkling of water make a child a Christian? But this is the kind of thing that goes on. And who started this? An emperor called Constantine. A great man. Great general. And he says, I will be emperor, not only in the political, military sense, but now I become head of the church. So there began the beginning of the Roman Catholic Church. Are you following? Do you know that? I beg your pardon. Whereas Obama sits as the head of America, most powerful man politically, militarily, is Obama. Do you know that? Now, on the religious side, the most powerful single man who controls nations is called the Pope. And this is about the Pope's organization. And those of you who have relatives who think, well, it's all right, we are all following Jesus Christ. I tell you, it is not all right. You follow the system of the Pope. All right. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Meaning to say, the kings of the earth come there to get favors. That's what a man goes to the prostitute for, to get a favor. About a month ago, when I was in Singapore, I saw a picture and a story. The Prime Minister of Malaysia, called Najib, had gone to Rome to see the Pope, and the Pope was giving to him the diplomatic papers to become the 179th nation on earth. How many nations? I beg your pardon. How many nations are there on earth? Do you know? Approximately 200. Approximately, more or less. And some of them are tiny, tiny countries. Like Singapore is one country. Now, Najib went there to, as this one, he is a king of Malaysia. He goes to commit fornication with a whore. Now you understand the interpretation? To get favors, because he's Roman Catholic Church in Malaysia giving him trouble. Now I'm going to make friends with your boss, the Pope. Pope will send down message to you, oh, we are friends, you know. You don't give trouble to Najib and the Malaysian country. And this is called fornication. This is politics. This is social matter. Nothing to do with Christianity. Why are we here every Sunday? Why? So that we go as a body of heavenly people, cleansed and saved by the blood of Jesus, so that when He comes or when we are called, we will go straight to Jesus. Is that your faith? Do you know that? If you have been in this church, become a member, you would have known. Now, in the world, the greatest deception is the Church of Rome. Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw this same woman, the whore, now described in different terms, sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, have got 7 heads and 10 horns. Now this is a riddle. To help you identify what this woman is all about. This woman equals a church. And don't let the word church deceive you. You say, church must be church, right? Jesus Christ church. Ah, this is the deception. You ever seen a $50 counterfeit note? Looks the same. You say church. You say the $50 note. Why don't you take it? Ah, I know it is a fake counterfeit. This is counterfeit church. And riding on a beast. 7 heads and 10 horns. 7 heads is identified in verse 9. As Rome being built on 7 hills. Do you know that? Have you been to Rome? If not, the next trip you go and see. Then you'll see there are 7 hills on which Rome is built. And the other clue is 10 horns. The 10 horns refers to Rome. How do I know? Daniel's prophecy in Daniel's book. Do you remember Daniel saw the prophecy of all the world powers? Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And what we are under today is the Roman Empire is still the power. And where is that power? That power is embodied in the Pope. Do you know that he's got the 3 names of God? He's called God the Holy Father. Do you know when he goes to Korea and Philippines, 1 million people come out and worship him. In Rome itself, he's regularly worshipped. Who worshipped him? The priests. They come to say, wow, Holy Father. Wow, I must bow down. And they not only bow, they prostrate themselves. So here is somebody who calls himself God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is all in this man. And he sits there, always wearing white. You never see the Pope wear in any other color, only white. And those who can go to see him, never see them in white. Not allowed. You go in dark suit, you're okay. Why? You're a sinner. That's God, you know. Bow down. So this is the deception. It's very hard to understand. These spiritual things are spiritually understood. So, now we will not take too much time on this. Verse 6. And this woman, the whore, or the false church, was drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Oh, what a wonderful beast of woman. Do you know that this Bible was produced by 4 translators and workers who did this work? All of them were burnt by Rome. Ah, where does it say so? Verse 6. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs. Do you know that during the Reformation time, hundreds of English, Dutch, Spanish, Italians, Germans, who were caught for reading the Bible were burned. Did they stop? No. Because God gave them the Spirit so that they love not their lives unto death. I must read the Word of God, this book, at that time. What book? King James Bible. Today, this Bible being toppled from its, or dethroned. Do you know that? Do you know by whom? You ask me, I ask you. Who toppled this book from being the number one Bible? Ever heard of a man called Rupert Murdoch? Ah, how did he do it? Because he owns the NIV, which is a corrupted Bible, but it has now become the most popular. So I say, people are told, change your Bible. This is all old-fashioned. The English we cannot understand. You get a copy of King James, NIV, New International Bible. How different is the language? So easy to read. Is that true? A research done in Harvard University showed the language and expression in this book is the best, easiest to understand compared to the new versions. All right? This is from Harvard. When I began my ministry in 1970 in Jurong, Singapore, I was told, yeah, you want to have your church grow, huh? You better change Bible. You use NIV, people will come. You use KJV. They say old-fashioned, cannot understand English. It is not the English. And as I said, if you want to say English for English, Harvard's research says the English is the best, easiest to remember, to understand. So I've answered that question. I'm not saying it, but since 1970, our people have grown in numbers as well as in understanding of the word. Using what? King James Bible. Those of you who sometimes feel uneasy, yeah, I'm left out, you know. People are so progressive, I'm backwards. This is 1611. By now, over 300 years. So they rejoice. Last year, last century, by year 2000, no more King James, but New International Version. Don't be deceived, dear friends. It's not understanding of English. But this is the only one Bible that is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. No other Bible, only this. Because it was translated from the best texts during the Reformation time, and the translators were picked from London, Oxford, Cambridge. The best, who picked them? The king. King who? James. James what? James the First of England. Was also James the Sixth of Scotland. So when they came to translate, King James supervised. Make sure you don't make any mistake. So how? Divide into six groups and share out the books of the Bible. You finish translating, the next group will check. These were all the linguistic experts in England. How many people? Nowadays, they are all tainted, poisoned mind with evolutionism, with higher criticism, with all kinds of evil ideas in the head. They cannot translate the word of God correctly because the minds are poisoned. In the time of the Reformation, 16th, 17th century, all the people there had never even heard of evolutionism, came when? 1859. Higher criticism in the 1980s, 1890s, and so on. There wasn't any kind of unbelief. They came later. So I say, dear friends, hang on to this book. Now let's see. Verse 6. Revelation 17, verse 6. I saw this false church drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now the Bible is absolutely true. God's book. This was inspired and written some 2,000, 3,000 years ago. It is by inspiration of God. And God says, I know the end from the beginning because I am God. God knows what they are thinking of. God knows everything. He is God. The problem is today, people become scientific and they say, there's no God. We are gods, you know. So they form ecumenical movement. That's why I entitled my message, Ecumenical Deception in Versions. Why are there so many versions of Bible? Because firstly, they use the bad texts, contaminated texts. Secondly, all the translators are modern scholars. And they're all tainted with philosophy, with new evangelicalism, with evolutionism, with rationalism. Dear friends, I told you a lot of stories. I hope you remember. But the greatest story out of this book is God loves us. And there is no way you can be saved by God sending a son who is born of a young woman. Do you know that some of the Bibles change the word? In this book it says virgin. Let me ask you, do you understand the difference between virgin and young woman? Is there a difference? You don't need to go to university to understand. That is the problem with the new versions. Deception. So people will give up because Rupert Murdoch and his advertising agents say this NIV is most accurate, most faithful, most understandable. Forget about the past. Give up your King James. That is the deception of the devil. May we be faithful. Our God who gave us this Bible is the same God who sent Jesus. Is the same God who is coming back to judge us. Be ready. Now, I have brought you a song. The proof of your faith that you are so happy to be a Christian is to go and be a witness of Jesus. So we are going to sing the first verse with a chorus. You have sung it a couple of times already. But versions aside, I say the greatest issue is God give you the faith to trust in the Lord and to burn out for Him. I don't mean that you go home and put petrol on yourself and burn it. It's not that. Burn out for Jesus, meaning I will go all out for Him. I will give up everything that hinders my service and testimony. We all memorize the verse, go into all the world and preach, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, of course, not everyone can go and baptize, but everyone can go and be a witness. And what does Jesus say? I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Is Jesus here? Of course. Wherever we meet in His name, He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come back to you. How? You don't see Him? This is Jesus in the Spirit. Except the Holy Spirit move in your heart. You cannot sing this earnestly and sincerely. Unless the Holy Spirit is working in your life, you will never want to go and be a servant of God and burn out for Him. Oh God, the world is lost in sin. So few seem to care. Many of whom profess your name. No burden will help to bear. Give me a passion, Lord, for souls, to bring the lost ones to thee. This is what it means. Pray for your best friend. Pray for your enemy. Pray and prepare and go and give the person the gospel. This is what you can do. It's very hard for me to go and talk to a 6-year-old child or 10-year-old child. But when they are about the same age, you can go and talk the same language. Burn out for Jesus. Let's arise to sing. Oh God, the world is lost in sin, and so few who seem to care. Many of whom profess thy name, no burden will help to bear. Give me a passion, Lord, for soul, to bring the lost ones to thee. Our hearts must be stirred till all have heard Jesus of Calvary. Chorus! Let me burn up for thee, dear Lord, burn and wear out for thee. Don't let me rust, for my life be a failure, my God, to thee. Would you like to sing it once more? So I remember it better. Eh? It's a song that has gripped me in the last 2 months. Oh God, the world is... Oh, no, you're not ready. Okay, ready. Start with me now. Oh God, the world is lost in sin, and so few keep to care. Many of whom fears thy name, no burden will help to bear. Give me a passion, Lord, for souls, bring the lost ones to thee. Our hearts must be stirred till all have heard. Or my life be a failure, my God.
Tovim. Use me in all I have, dear Lord, and draw me so close to Thee that I feel the fragrant heart of God. Oh, let me burn out for Thee. Our Father in heaven, may Thy Spirit confirm the truth of Thy word in every humble, receptive heart, and send us forth to be Your witnesses, testifying to the saving grace of our wonderful Lord Jesus, that when He comes, we may greet Him without regret. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship and enabling of the Holy Spirit be with all of God's people now and forevermore. Amen. Threefold Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Before I step down, may I say how good it is to be here today. And one thing I shall remember better is to pray for you, and you pray for me. Whether I can come again, I don't know. God wills and God knows. Let's pray for one another and burn out for Him. God bless you.